Christina. Christina, just hang tight for a second. Thank you. You got the ones, you got the ones in the back too? Thank you, Val. It's all right. It's good. Yeah. All right. Well, Miss Dingwell, come up here. I'll just give you those just in case. All right. Well, many, many years ago, 2004 to be exact, Christina joined our praise and worship team way back in the Idlewild Elementary School. Started out on the praise team, and then as we transitioned around the city, she got more and more involved, and over the last 3.5 years, assumed the responsibility of praise and worship leader. And today was her last Sunday in the position of praise and worship leader, hopefully for a while. She'll take a break, and then I hope she'll rethink some things. Anyway, Christina, your ministry has been a blessing to me personally and to our church family. I know that. Thank you for, I had this written out, but I thought I'll go with my heart. Thank you for being available when we needed you the most. You stepped up, drove all the way to Sherbrooke, then from Beaumont, and you continue to be diligent, organized, very administrative, which is evident and can be seen. You put in time and effort. I know you cried a lot of tears. I know that the issue of music at New Hope has been many conversations in your bedroom. I know that. And in a very small way, we want to appreciate you and say thank you today. But this doesn't come close to what I know our hearts feel for you, but it's the least of the outward expressions that we can show as a body. And so today we want to say thank you from my heart to yours on behalf of our leadership council members. Thank you on behalf of them, on behalf of the entire congregation. We say thank you for your faithfulness, your love, and your diligence in leading our congregation over these years in praise and worship. I don't know what God has in store for you, but if we conclude that He knew us before we were born, then we also have to conclude that wherever we are in life, it is not unknown to Him, and that He will have His way regardless. He will have His way, and He will find some way to have His will accomplished in your life, regardless of circumstances and all of those things. And so I hope that you would accept these beautiful flowers as a small token of our appreciation. And there's some things in here I know Bran would enjoy, but anyway. Okay. So we have a few envelopes here for you. And I hope you'd accept these as just a really small token of our appreciation, just to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you and appreciate you, all right? Yeah. You can open them if you want. It's up to you. No, I picked those out specially, okay?
All right. Special.
Okay. Excellent. I know there's a luncheon downstairs that you want to get to, and it smells good. On the organ today is my good friend Barrington Simpson. Originally he wasn't going to play, but anyway, he's here. So and then I saw Elric come in, and I wasn't going to have a special. I was going to go in and say, Elric, sing something for me, because I just need it this morning. So Elric and Barry are going to do something for us while I just get my thoughts together, and we will continue with the word. But while they're playing, go in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, and just stay there for a little while. All right? Excellent. Oh, it looks like Shaniqui is going to sing instead. Oh, this is good. She heads for the back door. You can go next to him if you want. You guys can work your stuff out.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, where darkness rises to hide, and trembled at his voice, and trembled at his voice. How great is our God! Come on and sing with me. How great is our God! And all will sing, how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. He's the Godhead three in one. He's the Father, Spirit, and Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and I will sing, how great is our God. Let's sing it one more time. See how great, I wish someone here would be able to worship, is our God. Come on and sing with me. How great is our God, and all will sing, how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Can everyone just join in and sing this chorus?
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I say, your God to thee. How great thou art.
I appreciate you helping me out here. This is awesome. God is great. He is a great God. Amen. He is a great God. Today we pass to celebrate Thanksgiving as a congregation, and we know Thanksgiving has already been passed a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to celebrate today. And for the old timers that's been around, this is not a new message to you because you've heard it before, but I felt in my spirit that it is quite appropriate for today. And so you will just have to indulge me and hear it again. And hopefully you might get something new out of it. And for those of you who've never heard it before, well, I hope you feel that you've been blessed as well afterwards. Let's go to the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter. And we just sang about a great God. We're also going to read about a great God. And I hope that this sinks into your spirit that no matter where you are, God is a great God. All right, why don't we read God's word in concert together? Amen. We're going to start on three. One, two, and three. The whole... Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses' hands, his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were in a tired. They took a stone and put it onto him, and he sat upon it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. All right, that's good. Let's affirm God's word. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative, the word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles, and I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to preach for just a few moments from the subject, thank God for guys like her. Thank God for guys like her. I was reading an article from the Rocket Company. I didn't sign up for the Rocket Company. Somebody signed me up, so they sent me all these information. It's about surveys of leadership in churches and all kinds of different things. And in this article, the survey stated that 99% of churches do not, on average, thank the people who make ministry possible and rewarding. 99% of churches do not, on average, thank the people who make ministry happen in their churches. Volunteers and donors. Thanking volunteers has an impact on the way people give to the church, not just financially, because when people are appreciated, they feel valued, and value breeds to commitment. The survey goes on to say that the majority of the people who tithe in a church also are the ones who do most of the serving. Volunteers, survey said that volunteers aren't just interested in their church, they invest in their church. And so, seeing that today was our celebration of Thanksgiving, I thought I would share this old message with you that has so many great biblical truths that we need to be reminded. And even though it's an old message, no matter where I go, when I encounter people who no longer go to church, if I dig deep enough, I can come up at some point in their lives. They used to attend church, they used to believe in God, but something happened that made them feel disconnected and unappreciative, and they've decided that the church now has no place in their lives, and even some of them will say God has no place in their lives. I run across a lot of people that says, I love God, but I don't love his church. And I say to them, well, you can't have one without the other. It's a marriage. And you can't say, I love John and not love his wife, Mary. If they're married, you got to accept both of them. But this is something that we see. And again, reading Reginald Bibby's survey that he puts out every year, the number one need for Canadians is still meaningful relationship. Every year it continues to be the top of his study, that Canadians desire more than anything in their lives meaningful and significant relationship. And I think what an opportunity the church has, because we come here to be a community. And I was saying to one of the young ladies in the back that there's no worse feeling than coming into a church environment and walking out feeling disconnected and feeling as though that you're not even welcome with the presence of Jesus. I understand that not every church is going to be a fit for everyone, but at least if we're the saints of God, there should be some feeling of connectivity because of Christ that dwells in us. And so today I do want to pause, and I want to, and let me just make this disclaimer. I want to call some names today in our service, and of course I'm not going to call everybody's name. Don't get in a hissy fit, okay, please. You just can't call everybody, but there's some people I just want to just point out and address. And from my heart and from my family's heart and the leadership, we just want to say thank you. And as we celebrate this morning, and as we get into the Word, and as we go downstairs to enjoy a great meal that is smelling so good, just want to appreciate all of you and all of our congregation members for all that you do to make ministry both possible and rewarding. Why this message? I believe this message, again, is to show appreciation for God has been good to us. It's to show appreciation because God is good to us. And to show appreciation that if we continue to be faithful to God, He will be faithful to us. Do I have any witnesses in the house? We did not get where we are this morning by ourselves. We did not get here by ourselves. No matter how difficult the journey has been, we are where we are today because the good hand of God has been on our side. Amen? And so we ought to pause and give Him thanks, but give thanks also to those whom have enabled us to get where we are. Most people in life only see the problems that they encounter and can't enjoy the journey. And so outside of Thanksgiving, we must take time to celebrate and say thank you for everything that we have in our lives. So if we are unable to recognize the blessings of the past, it will be very difficult for us to move forward in faith. When you look back and see where God has brought you from, it ought to do something inside of you that says, well, I can see where I came from. I know where I am today, and because if God of yesterday has done it, He can do it again today, and He can do it tomorrow. So it's good to reflect and to give thanks on the many blessings that we have in our lives. This is a very important journey in the life of the children of Israel. And I want you to note a few things in the text that they journeyed from place to place as the Lord commanded. When I read that, Twyla, something just struck a chord in me because when I look at human behavior, we don't like change. We don't like the change, but sometimes, even when you are in the will of God, He will move you from place to place. What this tells me is that we have to be mindful of our season because you don't want to stay one place too long and you don't want to get ahead of God either. Amen? And so the Lord, the text tells us that He had the journey from place to place as the Lord has commanded. And if we want to remain in the will of God, we've got to be sensitive to what the Lord is saying to us. We cannot be sensitive to the voice of God if we don't spend time with God in His Word or praying and talking to Him. Another thing I noticed in the text is that the process they encountered, they encountered water shortage. And Brother Morgan, what they said to me was that even though you are in the will of God, it does not give you immunity from difficulties. It was God's desire for them to move from place to place. And so when they encountered difficulty, it was because they were in the will of God. Somebody needs to know that you can be in the will of God and be catching hell on every side. You can be in the will of God and encounter difficulties in your finances, in your marriage, in your church, with your families. Being in the will of God does not give you immunity from life's challenges. So, as they journeyed, they told Moses that he had brought them out of Egypt to kill them and their children from thirst. And the text says that they were about to stone Moses. And I read the text and I say, man, you know, they'd so forgotten who had brought them over the Red Sea. Who had fed them, manna from on high, protected them, pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. And the moment something got just slightly off in their life, they were ready to stone the leader, And so I want to say to you, if you can't handle leadership and you can't handle people wanting to kill you and say things about you and do all kinds of things about you, then avoid leadership because the minute you get in, you're going to have some difficulties and some challenge. But you know, it's a good thing when you have godly leadership as an example. Because when Moses heard the murmuring and the crying, he didn't lose his cool. Not at this time. He did later on. But, man can only take so much. And
at this particular time, he lifts his hands towards heaven, and he begins to cry out to God. And I was reading the text, and I was wondering to myself, how do you lead people that you that think that you're trying to kill them? You know? How do you lead people that think you're trying to kill them? How do you follow a leader that you think is trying to kill you? Moses cried out to God, and God answered. God said to Moses, now this is for leadership now. This is for leadership. When Moses cried out, God said to Moses, walk ahead of the people. All right, walk ahead of the people. When you are in leadership, you can't take people where you haven't been. So walk ahead of the people. Now don't walk too far, because if you want to get them to Calgary and you're in Red Deer and they're still in Edmonton, chances are they'll take a detour to Wetaskiwin. So stay close enough that they can stay on the QV2 heading south, because you're no sheep. Right? They just wander off, take the wrong exit ramp. So walk ahead of the people. But this walking ahead of the people, I don't see it as just a physical walk. I see it as a spiritual walk, as an emotional walk, because he has to be in a place that they're not yet, so that when issues come up, he can effectively handle it. The other thing I noticed in it, and these are some nuggets I'm just pointing out to you, and as he's walking forward, he has to go ahead of the people thinking in leadership terminology. And then God said to him, Moses, now walk ahead of the people, but you know, if you're in leadership, it can get lonely at the top. But John Maxwell says, it doesn't have to get lonely at the top if you take some people with you. So God said to Moses, take some men of character. All right, let me pause it for just a minute. Just don't take any man with you. Well, ladies, you don't want any man. You need men of character. If you're in leadership, you don't want any man to walk with you. You need men of character. And God tells Moses, take some men of character to walk with you. And interesting, the text says that Moses was to take a staff. Well, I was a little puzzled, because we're not dealing with four-legged sheep. And a staff is for four-legged sheep. Why is Moses having a staff in his hand when he doesn't have four-legged sheep, but he's got two-legged sheep? Lo and behold, I noticed that the characteristics of both four-legged sheep and two-legged sheep are very similar. It's all good. You don't have to give me any affirmation. It's all good. So, the characteristics of two-legged sheep and four-legged sheep are very similar. Without leadership, they wander off. And there's some that you need. Now, on a staff, if you know staff, it's a long rod with a curve in it. And the shepherd would sometimes just stretch out his staff to bring those back into alignment. Now, sheep's natural tendency is to wander. They don't think for themselves. I used to look after sheep in Guyana. If one of them run across the road, the whole flock of them gone across the road. Right? They don't stop and look to see if cars are coming. They all get killed. Right? And so you see sometimes this characteristic, even in church, one person bails and the trail keeps going, you know. Never mind, I was inside. Just my inside voice. I'm getting to my text. I'm giving out the time to get supper, lunch ready. And so we notice that God says to Moses, take your staff. The staff was for four-legged sheep. Moses has two-legged sheep. The rod was for discipline. The staff, the curved part of it, was to rescue. So if a sheep got into some difficulty, like in water, he can go down to the banks of the water and use the staff, the rod, and just hook the sheep by its neck and pull it out and bring it to safety. The people, let me back up for a second. I want to say to somebody today, just came into my mind, use whatever you have in your hands to change your circumstances. Use whatever you have in your hands to change your circumstances. Now, I'm talking about me. I got a type A personality. Lord, if I only had this, if I only had that, if I only had this. Now, I know none of you like that. This is just me, okay? Okay. And sometimes God is saying, use what you've got right now to change your circumstances. Moses took his staff and he hit the rock. But on the issue of staff, while we're talking about a piece of stick, I had to pause here today and said it's amazing what can happen in a work environment when you've got good staff. I'd like to pause today to thank Cheryl Williams, who works in the office. She does such an amazing job. You will never, ever know what she does. It's good to have good staff. Annika Jackson is here today, and she's sitting in the back. And technically, she's not a staff, but she's part of our family. But Annika looks after books. But there isn't anything that I would need that Annika wouldn't do. I needed some running around done on the weekend. I didn't have time to do it. Annika was from one end of the city to the other end of the city. You got good people that work for you. Ladies, thank you. The people question God. Is God amongst us? Now, you know, you read the text and you have to ask yourself the question. They're asking themselves, we don't have any water. Is God amongst us? Listen, if you have been in the presence of God, when God is absent, you'll know. You don't have to ask. You know when God is present and when God is not present. And so the people are asking if God is present. But if God isn't present, guess who's moved? If you can't feel him, guess who moved? So they're asking, is God present? Now, God is speaking. The leaders, Moses can hear him, but the people are in a different mindset. If they have to ask if God is still around, they're definitely not hearing from God. So sometimes it is possible where God will speak to his leaders and not speak to the people, because the leader is supposed to be in front of the people. Sometimes God will speak to the leaders and not speak to the people. There are other times he'll speak to the people and not speak to the leader, because the leader is not in a place where he or she is actually hearing God. And we see that time and time again in many circumstances and situations. And so the Bible tells us that they came face to face as they're wandering through the wilderness. They came face to face with the Amalekites. They are in the will of God. It was God's desire for them to move from Egypt to the promised land, but they ran into some enemies. Can I pause here to tell you, New Hope, again, being in the will of God does not give you immunity from the Amalekites. And if you live long enough, the Amalekites will show up at your door. The Amalekites are coming. You don't have to go looking for them. You'll find them. These people were a constant thorn in the side of the people of Israel. The Amalekites conducted an unprovoked attack against Israel. You didn't hear me that. It was unprovoked. Sometimes, even when you're in the will of God, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to say nothing. People will just attack you just because they're demonic. Unprovoked attack. No reason for it. Attack against the Israelites. And sometimes you don't have to be guilty of wrongdoing for the enemy to come after you. So in this scene, we find that the leader Moses is mentioned along with Aaron, and the first mention of a future leader Joshua. And all of these men were great leaders in history, as we can look back and we can see. And all of them played a very important role in the early history of this great nation. However, there is a man mentioned in these verses that I believe deserves our attention this morning, and his name is Hur, H-U-R, not H-E-R. This man who stepped out of no place, does a great work, and then he disappears into the shadows from which he came. You know, I got to pause there and be honest with you. I don't encounter a lot of people who show up, get a job done, and just disappear. I see a lot of people show up and want glory and accolades and all kinds of different things. And if you don't give it to them, c- Could I pause to tell you today that if you are truly a child of God, just show up, stay quiet, do what you got to do, and then just disappear. Your crown of righteousness is not supposed to come from man. It'll come from God. So serve him whether or not somebody says thank you. So if I don't call your name today and you feel miserable, then this is for you. Brother Dave, are you with me? It's good to see you, Brother Dave. Agnes, it's good to see you. You go a long ways back. All right. Now, what the children of Israel didn't understand was they were fighting on two levels. They were fighting a physical battle, and they were fighting a spiritual battle. And sometimes, New Hope, you've got to understand what it is that you're fighting. Because if you try to employ the wrong weapons to fight a certain battle, you will just make matters worse. So, for example, you cannot fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. You got to fight a spiritual battle with spiritual solutions. Physical battle with physical weapons. And so we've got to be able to understand and know the difference. And so when Moses' hands were held up, which is a sign of intercession, Israel prevailed in battle. When Moses' hands was allowed to fall down, intercession ceased, and the Amalekites won. Here's a great part, here's a great tidbit for you, New Hope. When hands are raised high and praises are going up, protection will be on God's people. But when we fail to raise our hands and we fail to worship God, can I pause there? I'm going to make some people mad today. Because I see too many times in this pulpit where Christine and others have to force people to raise their hands. Right? No one should have to force you to raise your hands. If God is your God, you should want to raise your hands. You should want to praise him. You should want to exalt him. You should want to honor him. Nobody should have to force you to say nothing. You should just want to do it. We find in the text that Moses raised his hands. He's interceding for the people. Now this is the leader. But you can only hold your hands up for so long. One man can only do so much. So the brothers on the top of the mountain found a nice hard recliner. And they put it on the Moses to sit on. And two of them came around and lift up his hands. And as his hands were held lifted up, Joshua, now listen to this, not just that Israel won, but while Moses was on the top of the mountain, Joshua, the young leader, was on the forefront with the people leading. And so while he was up front leading, see, he can't be up front trying to fight, trying to pray, protect himself. He needs people behind him. So Joshua was on the battlefield dealing with the Amalekites, but Moses was in the background on top of the mountain talking to God. Sometimes we don't end up winning the victory and having winning the battle because we got nobody interceding for us and lifting up our hands. We all need to be praying and interceding for each other. And so this is what I want to say to you, New Hope. Let us stand in the gap for each other. If Joshua was the only one that's praying for everyone, carrying the leading the army, trying to fight, trying to reload, trying to get ammunition, he would be burnt out. But when intercession was taking place, and those of you who've got the gift of intercession, I want you to encourage you to use it, but all of us have the gift of intercession. We can all pray. We can all pray for the needs that are around us. And so I want to just quickly pause here and let you know that here is a man about whom we know nothing about, but he did a great work for a short time. And guys like her are absolutely invaluable. People that are willing to just step in and do a great work, don't make no set of noise, and just do it and be done with it. Can I pause today to recognize two young men? We come to church, and it's nice to have great sound, isn't it? But there's in this church, for the last little while, we've only got two young guys, my son, Sion Jr., and Nolan. And just hang on. They come. They're faithful. They don't give people grief. I know they get a lot of grief from people because I hear about it. When something doesn't go right, they get the looks. And they're young men. They could be out doing their own thing. But they're in church today. They're in church today. So Nolan, for looking after sound, and for my son, Sion, thanks, guys. I really, really appreciate the work that you do. Absolutely invaluable. Because if there was a Sunday that we showed up and you weren't here and no one did the sound, what happens on stage would not sound good. And so we pause to say thank you. Thank you for what you do. All right, Nolan? All right. I want you to know Nolan also figured out why the streaming wasn't working. I was about to get rid of the computer. I just bought it. I was about to get rid of it. Well, there's just one piece of cable that was bad, and he just unplugged it, and it seems to be working pretty good now. So appreciate that. People that are absolutely invaluable. Another lady that's in our church that you don't know much about, she's very quiet, is Patricia Wilton. She makes sure that that offering is counted, and she does it right. She looks after the debit machine. She doesn't say much. She just comes, and she does her thing, and she goes. Belong her husband is Fred. Again, you don't know this, but the fire marshal comes through this building every so often, and he checks to make sure that all the policies and procedures and all the things that risk management are in place. And Fred comes through this building, and he checks all the security lights, all the exit lights, and he does all of his little things, and no one sees him. Maybe Cheryl and I may see him. You know, the fence is broken. He's on the fixing the fence. The roof's got a leak. He's on the roof. Nobody's seeing him, but invaluable. To have. Invaluable to have. So, one person could make a difference between victory and defeat. People like her are absolutely invaluable. Guys like her are always involved. And today we've got a lot of people that are always involved. Her wasn't a great leader like Moses. He wasn't a great general like Joshua. He wasn't a great high priest like Aaron. He wasn't a warrior in one of the armies. He was just her. However, on this particular day, one thing was for sure, and he did what he could do. He held up one hand of Moses. He did it willingly, he did it actively, and he did it faithfully. He could hold up the hands of Moses. That's the job that he can do. And he did it well. And he did it proud. The application is for us today. Not every one of us are going to stand behind the pulpit and preach. Not every one of us can lead like Christina. Not every one of us can play the organ like Barry or the piano like Twyla or the drums like Graham. But each one of us can be involved in some way in winning the battle. People are involved at New Hope, and we appreciate them. I want to tell you something. I look around our church, and ladies, Eleanor and others, you're going to have to forgive me, but when I look at Elva's downstairs, I want to tell you how old she is, but I wouldn't because I know she probably won't like it, but she's over 60. Let me put it that way. And when I look at some of the people that are always involved, fellowship, always Elva, faithful Elva, she's coming and going. Sometimes she says, Pastor, have you heard anything about me? I did not like me. I say, Elva, you keep going. As long as I don't tell you to quit, you just keep going, Alva. you just keep fellowship happening. Very quietly beside Alva is our psychic, Lenore. Those two are like two peas in a pod. You don't hear much out of Lenora, but she serves faithfully. You can always count on them. Eleanor, we see you the same way, coming in, serving faithfully. I told Gina I was going to talk about her today. I know she probably doesn't like it. But Gina, again, this may not mean anything to other people, but it means a lot to me. You don't know this, but let me give you some inside information. In our budget, we've got some money set aside for communion so we can get the juice and the crackers and all that sort of stuff. And it's just there. It's not a whole lot, but it's just there so that we can pay for it. Gina took over communion several years ago. She's never submitted a receipt for any of the communion that we drink. I know it's not a whole lot, but it's still money. And if you add it up over the years, you know, I can probably get a nice pair of shoes with that money. So, probably two pairs of shoes. Okay, all right. So, but she comes in. Sometimes the table is not set up. And she runs downstairs and she gets a table and she does it. Communion is once a month, but it's a small thing. But if someone doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. So, Gina, for the small things. I just want to say thank you from all of us. All right? Guys like her are often invisible. There's a lot of invisible people around here that do a lot of things that you don't know about. I wanna pause today to just say thank you to our leadership council, Eleanor, Brian, Lori Kim, Clarence Diaz. I'm missing one. Cheryl. How could I miss Cheryl? She's just involved in so many things. They're invisible in a sense that you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And if Dagmar's been on the board and Dave has been on the board and some people have been on the board, and when you're in the board, you see some things that the rest of the congregation does not see. And so I want to thank these individuals for being invisible and doing what they need to do behind the scenes so that we can make ministry both possible and rewarding for our assembly. Now, there's another group that just comes and they don't say too much, and that's you as a congregation. There are many of you that are sitting within the sound of my voice today. You come and it may not look like much, but the very fact that you're here today, your presence gives us that sense of vitality and growth. And it's a tremendous encouragement to us. When you get involved in any area of the church, in finances or volunteering, these things speak volume to us. And so we want to honor you and say thank you to you for wanting to come. You know, there are many people who have passed 10, 12 churches from where they live to here, but you still choose to come here. You could have stopped at any one of those this morning or any Sunday morning. But the fact is you chose to come here. And so we want to pause and say thank you to you. For all of our guests and all of our visitors who come time and time again, it gives us that feeling of growth and vitality. And we want to pause today to say thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you to all of you. Amen. So all of our guests, all of our new attenders, Sarah, you included, all of our regular attenders, all of the financial contributors, the prayer intercessors, I want to pause and I want to thank all of you. There's one person that is often invisible that you don't really give too much thought about, and that is my wife. She's going to kill me for this, but that's okay. Debbie doesn't like to be recognized publicly. She doesn't like me talking about her. She just likes to do her thing. And, you know, Kima, why are you laughing? So, a couple days ago, I'm getting ready for work, and she said something to me that I want to share with you because it really, really touched my heart. And I'm getting ready for work, and I'm doing my stuff, and I can hear some noise coming from the laundry room. And I'm thinking to myself, that doesn't sound right. So I go in the laundry room, and my wife is sitting on one of the detergent pails, and she's sobbing. And I said, honey, what's going on? And she says to me, I just need a good cry, you know, but I don't want to burden you with it because you got so much on your plate. And I thought, oh, man, that's not good. You know, I should be the first person she turned to, not the last person she turns to. But then it dawned on me that she's trying to protect me from putting more on my plate. And I looked at that she would rather go in the laundry room and just have her snot and ball session by herself and be okay so that she doesn't have to put lots on my plate. Honey, that just did something to me the other day that I don't know. I don't know what to tell you other than I love you and I appreciate your sensitivity to all of us and to me and for protecting and for working with us, me in the background, and all of the things that you do that nobody sees, just you and I know about. Just thank you. Thank you. I got some good friends that are also invisible today. And that's Alan and Catherine and Dan and Melody. Catherine is in Uganda running a pig farm now. Alan, how's the pig farm coming? So, Catherine has got a PhD in pig farming now. So, but these are my good friends, and they just hang on. They are the ones that can ask me the tough questions, knowing that there'll be no offense taken to it, with it. Dan and I met in the office on a couple days ago and had a really good discussion. Open, honest discussion. All of us need that in our lives. If you have no one in your life to ask you the tough question, you need to find someone to ask you the tough question. We all need that kind of accountability. And so, Alan and Catherine and Dan and Melody, I love you. You're my dearest friends. We've been hanging for a long time, my friend. Thank you very much for all the conversations we've had. And we've disagreed and reagreed and disagreed and reagreed, but we still maintain our friendship, and that will never change. At least not from my heart. That will never change. I love and appreciate you dearly. All right? That will never change. So, New Hope, I want to challenge you about something. Find the invaluable people in your life. Find the invisible people. Don't need any accolades. Find the people who make a difference in your life. And I want you to appreciate them. Christina, again, we want to thank you for all you've done. Nobody will ever know all the things that you go through as a worship leader. I always say that it's easier being a pastor than a worship leader, because I got one scripture to preach. You may not like how I preach it, but you can't say you should have preached this one or that one. You know, I get that grace. Where, you know, the pastor is allowed to pick the scripture he wants. Worship leader doesn't have that option. You know, well, this song or this tempo or that style. And so, again, for all the people that's involved in the worship ministry, you got a great job ahead of you. Well, Christina, thank you. And we want to just bless our people and let them know how much we value them and all that they do in making ministry both possible and rewarding here at New Hope. And so, after all, this is said and done. This is God's kingdom. And he knows everything that we're going through. He knows what we can or cannot do. And so I want to tell you this morning that you're valued, you're appreciated. This preacher thinks that you're the best. I love you, and I thank God for everyone who's involved in his work, especially here at New Hope. But remember that the Amalekites are coming. And the only way that we're going to win the victory, to fight and to have the victory over the Amalekites, is if we choose not to fight internally, but take all of our energies and put it externally, become a family, so that we can have all the resources we need to fight externally. The only way we're going to win this victory is if we decide to stand up together, each of us individually doing our part. The Amalekites are coming, New Hope, and you and I need to be committed, and we need to stand together in battle to win this fight. God will fight the battle for us, but we must face the Amalekites in our lives. So let us stand up, New Hope, and be counted. Yes, we're going to face opposition sometimes. We're going to face challenges sometimes. We're going to face change sometimes. We're going to face unpleasant circumstances sometimes. We're even going to face disappointment sometimes. Trials of various kinds. We're going to have some nasty fights. But like the Apostle Paul, when it's all said and done, we must be able to say that I fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, and I have finished the race. New Hope, this is my encouragement for you. Let us thank God for guys like her who do their part, as insignificant that is as it is, so that the armies of Israel can have the victory that God intends for them to have. You, as an individual, can make a significant difference in the life of God's kingdom. Be encouraged. Do your part. Mary, I appreciate you leaving your church on a Sunday morning to come and to help us. It shows Christ-likeness. It's what the body of Christ should be like. And one day I hope that we will get to a place where we can help another church in some other way to advance the kingdom of God through their local ministry. So I honor you today because your father's a pastor and obviously he's raised you right. And I honor that you would leave your church and come and try to be with us to help us out. And I know that God's going to reward you more than any reward that we can give you today. So stick around. Join us for lunch. We'll enjoy a good time together. All right? Thank God for guys like her. All of you that are here today are invited to stay and join us for lunch. We're going to celebrate, and we're going to fellowship together, and we're going to fill our tummies with some good food. How many of you hungry? It's 12:24. Time to eat. Amen? So you're all welcome to stay down, stay with us, go downstairs, and let's have a good time together as we enjoy God's presence and our company together. Just hang on. Can I have the microphone, please? It will be. Okay.
Is it on?
Yes, you.
Okay. Before you go downstairs, we want to do it very orderly fashion so it doesn't be a crowded. We're sending two tables.